money. You can't live without it, and sometimes you can't live with it. Believers in the race of life need to come to grips with money. And that means discerning God's intentions for our pocketbooks. Many of us grip those pocketbooks until our knuckles turn white. But God wants us to discover the joy of generosity. And that's our focus on today's broadcast. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on the joy of generosity, and today, Dr. Lutzer turns our attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and to Christ, the Lord of our finances. He'll dispel the myth that giving is only for the rich.
You see, if you say that giving is only for the rich, what you're saying is that poor people can't be faithful to God. Only rich people can be faithful to God. Because it doesn't matter how much you have. It has to do with how you handle what God has given you. It's not what you do with a million if riches should be your lot. It's what you are doing at present with the dime or the quarter you've got. That's the issue. You know, we can all say, well, you know, if I had $1 million, I'd give half of it. You know, there's a story of a pastor who went to a farmer and said, if you had $1 million, would you give half of it to the church? Oh, yes, of course I would. If you had 1,000 sheep, would you give half of them to the church? Oh, yes, certainly I would. If you had 10 horses, would you give 5 of them to the church? Yes, I would. If you had 2 pigs, would you? Oh, pastor, you know I've got 2 pigs. In other words, don't touch that. I want to say something to those of you who are teenagers and children. The issue is not how much you have or whether you have much or little, a few dollars or a few pennies or $100. The issue has to do with faithfulness with what God has given to you, because it has nothing to do with riches or lack of riches. It has to do with our love for Christ and whether or not we're going to serve Him. And that's the issue. One day Jesus was standing at the treasury and noticing all the rich people who were putting in their money. They were blowing the trumpet. There was a piece of metal that had been shaped like a trumpet, and people would put their gifts in it. And some of the righteous people would stand there putting in one coin after another, so that as people walked by, they said, oh boy, look at all the money that he's putting in. And they loved to drag it out just so that they could be seen. And then there was a widow who came, and nobody was watching her, and she gave her 2 mites. And Jesus said to the disciples, she gave more than all of them, because she gave all her living. It has nothing to do with amount. It has nothing to do with riches. It's a matter of being faithful with what God has given you. The text says that out of their deep poverty, they gave. All of us feel poor, particularly around tax time. We all feel as if we're in the 50% bracket, namely that we're only earning 50% of what we really need to live. Don't we all feel that way? And yet the fact is that comparatively speaking, we are wealthy. Our problem is God does not have our hearts. So secondly, it says that they gave out of their poverty. Third, and I love this, it says in verse 3, they gave beyond their ability. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. Beyond their ability. I read the text and I say, Paul, what do you mean beyond their ability? I think very possibly the Apostle Paul simply meant that they gave more than anyone could have reasonably have expected them to give. They gave beyond their ability. They gave beyond what was natural. They gave beyond what anyone could think this poor church could possibly contribute to the saints in Jerusalem. Perhaps another interpretation is that as they began to give, God began to bless them so that they could give more and more and more, and ended up giving way beyond what they had ever thought that they could give, because God took their gifts and multiplied them. And God loves to do that. I think that the next myth that needs to be debunked is the idea that somehow we should give only what we can afford to give. You see, here's where many of us have gone wrong. This is even where I've gone wrong. Namely, sometimes we think to ourselves, I'm going to choose my standard of living, and then once I've chosen my standard of living, I'm going to choose my standard of giving. And then sometimes we give only what we can afford. That's a big mistake that we make living here in the United States of America. What we ought to do is to say, I'm going to choose my standard of giving, and then once I've done that, I'm going to adjust my standard of living to fit my giving. My friend, today, if you give only what you can afford to give, there's no faith in it. If at the end of the month you go through and you've paid all your bills and you've taken care of all of your obligations, and now you say in the end, this is how much I have left for God, where is the faith? There is no opportunity for God to prove himself faithful in your life financially, because all that you're doing is what you can afford to give. The text of Scripture says that they not only gave to their ability, but they gave beyond their ability. They gave more than anyone could reasonably expect. They gave more than they could afford to give, and they were blessed as a result of it. Grace, as we shall see in a moment, was poured into their souls because they were so faithful in their contributions to God. And I want to emphasize again that God takes our contributions and he multiplies them in ways that are phenomenal. I think that they are even being multiplied in heaven. The two mites that the widow gave, 2,000 years of compound interest at 4% would be 48 with 19 zeros. And I can't believe that she'd have gotten more of an investment on earth than she has in heaven today. Remember 2 years ago when Forbes magazine had that picture of a man riding his $2.5 million lawnmower. In fact, I don't get Forbes, so I went into the library because I said, I want to see this guy riding a $2.5 million lawnmower. What happened was this, that in the late 50s, there was a food chain, the Lion food chain. 86 people invested money. There are 85 millionaires today, but there is one man who took his money out because he wanted to buy a lawnmower. So he got his lawnmower. If he had kept his money in, he'd be a millionaire today. Do you see how foolish we are when all that we can think about is what we spend today for ourselves? We are buying lawnmowers and we are not making eternal investments in the kingdom of heaven. And that's why it is that sometimes we aren't blessed financially as God promises he will do. Notice number four, it says they gave themselves willingly. As a pastor, I just love this. They gave willingly. It says in verse 4, and really, I'm not making this up. I hope that you bring your Bibles when I preach, because sometimes you may think that this is what the pastor is saying and not what the Bible is saying. Notice it says they gave beyond their ability, verse 4, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. Paul says they were begging us to give. I'm still waiting for that to happen here at the Moody Church. I've never yet had people say, Pastor, would you just pass the offering plate one more time? I've not had people say, we're not going home until you take another offering. Paul says this is what they were doing. I can just imagine the scene. Paul is saying, look, you folks are poor. There's no way that I'm going to take your money for the saints that are in Jerusalem. And they're saying, Paul, but we want to do it. Paul, please, please take our money. Begging us, he says. What is the lie that needs to be forever exploded? The lie is that the real motivation for giving is guilt. That what we do is we lay guilt trips on people. We tell them how bad things are, and then we tell them how stingy they are. And if you tell a stingy person how stingy he is, maybe he'll give you a dollar more. Forget it. Shameful. You see, what happened is these people knew that the real motivation for giving is love and joy, and it is because of their love and joy that they could give so generously. They said, Paul, you just don't know what it's like for us to give. And what did Jesus say, by the way? It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. If you're stingy, you can take care of your stinginess. Just begin to give generously to God and to his work. And you'll be blessed, and you'll say, I'd like to even give more because God is pouring blessing into my soul. So they gave willingly. Notice number 5, it says they gave themselves. And this is the whole key. It says, and this, not as we had expected. Paul says they did beyond what we could have reasonably have expected. But they first gave themselves to the Lord They first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. And that is the whole key. They gave themselves to the Lord. You see, these people said, we're just dedicated to Jesus Christ for whatever it is that he wants in our lives. Read a story this week of someone who is going to be baptized in a river and baptized by immersion. And as you know, we baptize here by immersion. And tonight we're going to have a great baptismal service. But as he was about to go into the water, his wife said, why don't you give me your wallet so it doesn't get wet? He said, no, I'm going to keep it because I want it to go under the water too. It's a great lesson. What he was saying is, I want my money to be God's as well. All of me is going, including my wallet. You know, that's the one thing we want to keep out of our baptism, isn't it? That's the one thing we want to say, somebody, hang on to my wallet. Because I don't want to give my money to the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. And that's the issue in stewardship. What lie is it that we need to forever put to rest? The lie that we need to forever put to rest is the idea that somehow giving is a matter of finances. It is never a matter of finances. Please don't ever think it is a matter of finances. It is a matter of spirituality. It is a matter of your relationship to the living God. That's what it is all about. It has nothing to do with money or the amount of it. Now, have you ever seen something that's funny? That's hilarious, or as my kids say, it's hilaire. And that is somebody who is trying to give money to God and he has never given himself to God. I mean, it's a scream. A person like that will nickel and dime the kingdom of God to death. I mean, he'll give a dollar or he'll give $20 and he'll just be just agonizing within and he just doesn't know what it's like to be generous, and so he is stingy, but he still feels this heavy, awful obligation. See, what's going on in the back of his mind is, how little am I able to give and still look good? How little am I able to get by with and God still think that I'm a good Christian? What is the bottom line?
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and let me tell you what the bottom line is. You remember that phrase that the Apostle Paul uses in 2 Corinthians? He says that he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows generously will reap generously. Sometimes people ask me, should I tithe on the net or on the gross? And I say, well, do you want to be blessed on the net or do you want to be blessed on the gross? Now, of course, we do not teach that we give in order to get. There's much that is being talked about today about seed faith that I believe is wrong. But there is this biblical principle that God blesses generous people. So if you want to have his blessing, become generous. And if you sow abundantly, that's the way you'll be rewarded.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on the joy of generosity, a study in the stewardship of our time, talents, resources, and affections. Today's lesson was the second on Christ, the Lord of our finances. Tomorrow, this message will conclude. This entire series on stewardship can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to Running to Win. For details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. For more insights on how a Christian should handle finances, join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.